the book of Acts. The 12th chapter, and reading verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The title of our message this morning is The Power of a Praying Church. If I were back in Harlem or Brooklyn, New York, I would have entitled the sermon, Rhoda Ain't Crazy. But I'm here at the seminary. I've got to try to be erudite and scholarly. And so our title is The Power of a Praying Church. But how many know that Rhoda ain't crazy? Let us pray. Our Father, as we open your word, may we also open our hearts. This we ask in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen. In his book on prayer, entitled Prayer, Does It Make a Difference? Best-selling author Philip Yancey recounts an incident that took place during a visit he made in November, 2002 to St. Petersburg, Russia. As he tells it, it was the wrong time to visit the historic city, for his visit occurred in the midst of the city's preparation for its 300th anniversary. Scaffolding seemed to mask buildings everywhere, and the streets were cluttered with construction equipment and materials, making Yancey's early morning jog an adventure, if not a downright perilous undertaking. On one of his early morning jogs, Yancey became distracted and stumbled and fell face down onto one of the quaint cobblestone streets of the historic city. Getting up, he realized that his face was covered with blood, that his upper lip was split in two, and that he was missing one of his front teeth. He managed to limp past the stairs of normally austere Russians back to his hotel room. But because he had heard nothing but horror stories about the state of medical care in Russia, he decided not to go to a hospital. He opted for self-treatment. Thus, he took a few aspirins, washed off his wounds with some alcohol, and applied a Band-Aid to his upper lip. After resting a few moments, he went in search of an internet cafe where he dispatched an email to a prayer group at his home back in Colorado. As he tells it, the message was to the point. It simply read, "We need help. Please pray. We need help. Please pray." Yancey says that the moment he hit the send button, for the first time that day, the lump of fear and anxiety in his stomach began to loosen. You see, he knew that in a few moments, family and friends, people who cared, would turn on their computers, read his message, and begin to pray on his behalf. "We need help. Please pray." Knowing that the caring community to which he belonged back home would be praying for him made all the difference in the world to Yancey. Ah, for a praying church. What I wouldn't give to belong to a praying community. Years ago, the hymn writer penned, "I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of love, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by my Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love." Without a doubt, the hymn writer knew that there is power in corporate prayer, that things happen when churches or faith communities take to their knees. If ever there was a time when the church needs to be on its knees, that time is now. If we are to know God's will for us, we need to be on our knees. If our plans are to be in alignment with God's grand designs, we need to be on our knees. If we are to bask in God's presence and promises, we need to be on our knees. If we are to be conformed to God's image, we need to be on our knees. And yes, if we are to experience breakthroughs and deliverance, we need to be on our knees. In the book of Acts, in our passage of scripture for today, we see what can happen when a community of faith takes to its knees. It all started, or shall I say, the need arose because of the first serious persecution that confronted the Christian church. Initially, Jewish leaders had dismissed Christian teachings as propaganda that would have ended with the crucifixion of Jesus. But when that did not occur, and when to their wonder and consternation they learned that extraordinary things were taking place among the Christians, they knew they had to act. And so after the stoning of Stephen, some severe measures were enacted against the Judean Christians. Sometime later, King Herod Agrippa, determined to do what he could to root out the Christian community, struck at the leaders. Now, Herod was not a Jew, but he tried to gain favor with the Jews by persecuting Christians. First James, the brother of John, was killed, and then Peter was arrested and flung into prison. Of all Jesus' followers, you might recall, Peter, James, and John comprised the inner circle. Imagine the horror throughout the infant Christian church then, when James became the first of the 12 apostles to die for the gospel's sake. Being put to death with the sword literally meant that he was beheaded. An appalling murder had taken place, a murder that shocked the early and the young Christian church. The death of James, however, went over so well that Herod arrested Peter, and the plan was to execute Peter like James. When he was thrown into jail, the probability of Peter ever coming out of jail alive was remote at best. Only the Easter feast stood in the way of Peter's execution. The apostle was thrown or cast into the inward ward, and he was chained between two Roman soldiers. Actually, Peter was in the custody of 16 soldiers, four quads of four each. They took turns watching him, wanting to be sure that he would not escape. The authorities would take no chances. How did the early believers respond? And how should the church respond in a time of crisis? Acts 12, 5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer. But prayer. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. In imprisoning Peter, it appears that there are some truths of which Herod was woefully ignorant. One of them is that our God is an awesome God who reigns with power from on high. When our God moves, stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Scripture says that the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sound asleep. You know, you either have to be a person with a good conscience or no conscience to be asleep the night before doomsday. Peter may have been the only Christian in the city asleep that night. You see, the rest of the Christians were praying. Come on, say amen, somebody. Scripture says, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared. That's what I like about the way my God operates. That's the way our God often shows up, suddenly, at the 11th hour. Suddenly, when you're between a rock and a hard place. Suddenly, when you're down to your last dime. Suddenly, when your back is up against the wall. Suddenly, when your enemies are many and strong. Suddenly, when hope is almost gone. Suddenly, when you don't know what to do. Suddenly, when others have written you off. Suddenly, when defeat seems imminent and when the doctor throws in the towel, suddenly. Is there anybody here who was in trouble and it looked like you were going down, but suddenly, God showed up? And when God shows up, God shows out. Suddenly, an angel showed up and light flashed around in the cell. It had been dark, but God shed light on Peter's situation. Isn't it encouraging to know that our God works the night shift? In fact, God works all shifts. Because according to Psalms 121:4, he neither slumbers nor sleep. Come on, say amen, somebody. The angel touched Peter, and the chains fell off, and Peter woke up. The angel awoke Peter, but made the guards fall into a deeper sleep. Then the angel told Peter to get dressed, to put on his sandals, and the angels led him out right through the gates and through the streets of the sleeping city. That's what I like about my God. My God will provide a way when you can't see a way. How many know today that God will open a door for you that no man can close, and that God will close doors for you that no one can open? The angel and the Peter went right past the two groups of soldiers, and when they came to the great iron gate of the city, it swung open by itself. Someone said that it was harder for Peter to get into prison than it was for him to get out of prison. Beloved, no prison can hold the person whom God releases. Herod plotted Peter's death, but God plotted his deliverance. Herod made him a captive, but God made him a conqueror. Herod held him in prison, but God sent him to a prayer meeting. Do I have to tell you this morning that no authority or power can shut out God from your situation? Do I have to tell you that mankind's attempts, or even the devil's attempts to destroy God's people, are futile when they come up against the will and the power of God? Do I need to remind you that if God is for you, then who can be against you? Do I need to tell you that no weapon formed against you can stand? Do I need to inform you that God can turn your dead ends into detours? Do I need to remind you that God can take what seems like an end in the road and make it a bend in the road? Do I have to tell you that while we are trying to figure it out, God is already working it out? Come on, say amen, somebody. Our God is an awesome God who reigns with power from on high. What happens when communities of faith pray? First, God hears. If there is any reluctance in prayer, it is on our part, not God's. Quite the opposite. God is a willing participant when the community gathers to pray. Prayer works because God has promised to hear us when we pray. It's an amazing truth that God listens and God responds. Ellen White says, thank God for the old lady. I can quote her up in here. Come on, say amen, somebody. Ellen White says, Desire of Ages, page 667, every sincere prayer is heard in heaven. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Oh, what else happens when churches pray? They trust God with the answer. There is something significant about this crisis. You might recall James had been beheaded. James was killed, but the church still prayed because the church knew what it means to trust God with the answer. They know that God never makes a mistake. They know that God never makes a mistake, and that however God chooses to respond, God is God all by himself, and we ought to trust God with the answer. Ellen White again says the prayer of faith is never lost, but to claim that it will always be answered in the very way and for the particular thing we have expected is presumption. In this instance, Peter was released from prison. It wasn't just that the church was comforted and made accepting of the problem. No, he was delivered. Another thing that happens when churches pray is that they are surprised. They are surprised. That gives all of us hope. They are surprised. Peter showed up, and they thought that Rhoda was crazy. But Rhoda ain't crazy. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Rhoda ain't crazy. If it hadn't been for the Lord, where would I be? Rhoda ain't crazy. Is there anything too hard for God? Rhoda ain't crazy. With man, some things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Beloved, Peter's deliverance came about because of prayer. The community of faith had no weapon against the Roman army, the prison, or the mighty power of Herod, except the weapon of prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. So they used that weapon and prevailed. The entire church prayed on and on, night and day. The stream of supplication was never suspended. It continued in earnest until Peter was set free. On that night, the early church witnessed and experienced the power of prayer. Prayer is the church's lifeline to God. The church is better off when it prays. And the church can move mountains when it petitions God. And so I'm constrained to ask this morning, what would happen if the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary at Andrews University prayed like the early church prayed? Do I have to tell you that prayer is the greatest force in the world? The greatest force in the world. Ellen White says, I've got to hurry along. Prayer is the answer to to every problem in life. It puts us in tune with divine wisdom, which knows how to adjust everything perfectly. So often, she says, we do not pray in certain situations because from our standpoint, the outlook is hopeless. But nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is so entangled that it cannot be remedied. No human relationship is too strained for God to bring about reconciliation and understanding. No habit is too deeply rooted that it cannot be overcome. No one is so weak that he cannot be strong. No one is so ill, help me, Holy Ghost, that he cannot be healed. No mind is so dull. Hello, intermediate Greek, intermediate Hebrew. No mind is so dull that it cannot be made brilliant. Whatever we need, if we trust God, he will supply it. If anything is causing worry or anxiety, let us stop rehearsing the difficulty and trust God for healing, for love, and power. Review and Herald, October 7, 1865. I'm ending now, Acts 12:5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but, pray, was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. He was kept in prison, but, thank God for the but. But is a coordinating conjunction that connects what goes before with what comes after. And God, my God, has a way of putting a but where a period should be. And the but indicates a change in circumstances. There's a whole lot of theology in but. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We are hard-pressed. Hard-pressed. Hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Unsponsored, but not uncalled. Unsponsored, but not uncalled. Penniless, but not poor. Down, but not out. Down, but not out. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing unto the church for him. Rory ain't crazy.